many years ago, maybe it was the times that we were only 13, maybe a bit later, the first book I translated was Futuwa of Hazrat Sulaymi, Quddas Allah al-Fattahi. I was ambitious then, I am ambitious now for my people. To be Fatah. Some Islamic historians say from the beginning till now, the Muslims, they lived their Islam in different ways during the five periods of Islamic history. In Devr-i Saadet, at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ashab Kiram and the Ansar lived their Islam word by word, thought by thought, action by action, according to the ayats and the surahs were coming slowly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which they tried to find out a way of living their Islam according to the wish of Allah Ta'ala, doing what He asks us to do and not doing what He asks us not to do. And as the Quran al-Azim was new and not many people knew it by heart, they also depended on what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the living Quran, said and did or didn't do certain things. That is to say, they strictly followed the Sunnah. That first period was short. It was practically the short lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the time of Khulafa'i Rashideen, the four blessed caliphs after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Islamic world became larger and the fresh wind of Islam at the time of the Risadat, at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, practically blew away. But the generation after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a great loyalty and trust to the first generation of Muslims. After all, they were guided by people who were very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with that intense loyalty which they felt to the lifestyle during the time of Rasulullah, copying them, so out of loyalty they more or less followed the lifestyle of the first generation of Muslims. When the Islamic world became larger and larger during the Amawid period and during the Abbasid period, and afterwards during the Seljukid Empire and going into the Ottoman Empire, with the influence of Sufism, the alims and the sheikhs and the Waliullah, they came up with a code of morals. And they have really made it into a social system which was called Futuwa. It influenced the politics, it influenced economics. In fact, it was the creation first of unions. In fact, all the way, practically till my youth, for instance, my Sheikh Mudaffaruddin Efendi was the Sheikh of the booksellers. There was the Sheikh of the shoemakers. There was the Sheikh of the tailors. There was the Sheikh of the jewelers, which worked very hard to establish a standard of excellence in their profession. And the prices were decided on the capability of the master tailor, master shoemaker, master bookseller, do you understand? And in fact, they had even costumes, a certain costumes, the way they dressed. But it wasn't only the people in business who followed this strict morals, strict rules. Especially on the youth, it was imposed to be totally trustworthy, to be totally honorable, to totally loyal, totally hardworking, total attempt to learn as much as possible, to be kind and generous, etc., etc. I mean, all the good character of a Muslim should have, they tried to impose on themselves. And they succeeded. They became powerful. They became respected. They became educated and knowledgeable. They produced great art, great literature, and this continued till about 18th century. 18th century, that got lost. 18th century is the beginning of the supremacy of the West. Christians, they left their religion and they advanced in the worldly businesses and worldly culture and civilization. The Muslims, they left their religion and they collapsed. That the historians called the period of Haya, the period of shame. Muslims lived their Islam in shame, having lost their wisdom, their beauty, their power, their empire, even their freedom. That is the period of the colonization. I saw that in my father. In 1968, we are going from Vienna to Budapest upon his wish. He lost his arm in the Battle of Dardanelles, and afterwards he was sent to Vienna and to Budapest, and he fought in Galicia with one arm. And we are going on the river of Donau in a boat, and to the right and to the left there are those hills. On the top of the hills there are castles in ruins. I've never seen my father cry. He looked right and he looked left. "Look, son," said he, "those are Turkish castles, Ottoman castles. Where were we then? And where we are now?" And he made a strange noise, like, and then drops of tears came from his eyes. He was deeply ashamed. And now we even lost this shame. Now we live our Islam. The only thing which somehow is left to us is that we hope, when we do a little good deed, we hope for the reward. And more often when we sin, some of us, not all of us, we fear the retribution of Allah Ta'ala, and usually we fear the retribution of Allah Ta'ala here, and we hope for the reward of Allah Ta'ala here. Very seldom, very few of us, we wish for his reward in the hereafter, and we fear the punishment in the hereafter. So that is why, knowing this situation, I translated the Futuwa of Hazrat Sulaymi as our first book. Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem says in a hadith that Allahu Teala pours his rewards and never stops as long as the servant serves other Muslims in need. A Muslim of that period which I have mentioned. By the way, there are no sort of iron curtains in between those periods which I have mentioned, because there are still very few Muslims who lived their Islam as the Ashab and the Ansar lived at the time of Rasulullah. There are maybe few more who live their Islam as the people lived at the time of the Khulafa'i Rashidin, and there are still some more who lived their lives at the time of when we practice our Islam in shame. But to simplify the description of a feta who follows this code of manners, it is said that he thinks and he talks and he acts, if not always, most of the time, for the benefit of others rather than for his own benefit. There are still some people like that amongst us who, if not always, as I have witnessed today during the wedding, they think of others more than they think of themselves. It is also said that someone who lives in accordance with the canon of Futuba, thinking of others more than he thinks for his own benefit, doing things for others more than he does things for his own benefit, that he has no enemies. Neither is he the enemy to anyone. But it is said also that when he doesn't have any enemies, he has only one. That is his ego. Cafer-i Sadık radiyallahu anh is the great grandson of both Hazreti Ebu Bekir Siddiq and Hazreti Ali keremallahu veçhuhu, from the line of Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem. He lived in Medine-i Munevvera And he was a friend of Shakiki Balhi, Qudus Sirra al-Fattahi. One day they were talking with each other. He said, "Ya Shakik, tell me something. What do you think about thankfulness and about patience?" Shakiki Balhi said, "Well, when Allah Ta'ala blesses us with His gifts, we are thankful. And when He withholds His gifts from us, we are patient." Hazrat Jafar Sadiq said, "The dogs of Medina do that. When you give them food, they wiggle their tail, they come and put their head on your knee. And when you don't feed them or you punish them, they also come and sit at your foot." Oh, who is carrying the flesh and blood of Rasulullah? Tell me then, what should one show patience and what should one show thankfulness? Hazrat Jafar Sadiq said, "When Allah Ta'ala blesses us with gifts, we prefer that He would give it to others than us. And then we give those which He has given us to others." And when Allah Ta'ala withholds from us something which we need, we are thankful, hoping that the thing which is being held from us will go to someone else. The same Jafar Sadiq one day was praying in a mosque, and the only other person in the mosque finished his prayers and then came and held Jafar Sadiq by the collar. And he said, "You stole my money." "What?" said he. He said, "Well, I had my money purse and now I don't have it, and you are the only person in the mosque. You must have taken it." And he said, "Well, no, but how much money did you have in your purse?" He said, 1,000 riyals. "Okay," he said, "come with me." He took him to his house. He counted 1,000 riyals to the man. The man is still very angry and took the 1,000 riyals and went home. And when he went home, he found out that his purse was home. He didn't take it to the mosque. So he was very embarrassed. He took the 1,000 riyals of Jafar Sadiq and he went and knocked at his door and begged his to ask to be pardoned, and he wanted to give him the 1,000 riyals. And he said, "When Allah Ta'ala gives through my hand 1,000 riyals, I cannot take it back." He said, "He gave it to you and you keep it." This is, for instance, an example of the rules of Futuwa. But the perfection of Futuwa is in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because on that day, in the day of Last Judgment, when we are about to give our accounting, and when we are terrified from the punishment in eternity in hell, when we will be missing one single good deed to be able to enter to paradise. And I will turn to my head to the right, like we do in the prayer. I would say, Mother, Father, you gave birth to me, that you helped me all during my lifetime. I need one good deed. Can you give me one good deed? My mother, my father are going to say, Nafsi, Nafsi, I have to think of myself. I have to think of myself. I cannot give you anything. I will turn to my left. I will say to my son, to my daughter, I will say, my son, my daughter, look, you are my children and we live together. I helped you, I educated you. Give me one of your good deeds. You don't want your father to go to hell. They will say, Nafsi, Nafsi, Father, no, we have to think of ourselves. We have to think of ourselves. Everyone on that day, they will think of themselves, except only one. When everyone was saying Nafsi, Nafsi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will say Ummati, Ummati. O my people, O my people. Salaam alaikum. I have told that story many times to you, but precisely the time has come as an illustration of what I was talking about. Many years ago, when my daughter, I don't remember, was second grade, third grade, fourth grade, in the school across us, in Waldorf School, I was asked to talk to young children about Islam, kids about this age. So what are you going to say to the children, you know, a bit older than this one? So I asked them, do you like chocolate cake? And of course, yes, Mr. Bayrak, we love chocolate cake. Well, imagine, I said, that you had a big piece of German chocolate cake in your hand in your lunch hour, and you are really looking forward to see it. But the lunch hour comes, your friends are around yourself, you open your bag, and there is this chocolate cake. And everybody is looking at it, sort of saliva coming from their mouths. When, without even tasting it, you will give that chocolate cake to others, and when those others are eating with great appetite that chocolate cake, you will feel so much better than if you would have eaten yourself. I said, that is what Islam is. That is sort of, to put it in child language, of futuwa. And I heard next day that all the kids, during lunch hour, they had given their food to each other instead of eating themselves. Salaamu alaikum. So it works. I mean, it works even with 3-4 year olds. Try it. As the Jewish mother says, try it, you'll like it. Şimdi çay gelirdi. Ne oldu acaba? if you have any questions, you are welcome to answer it. But we usually don't ask questions thinking that maybe people will think my question is simplistic, stupid, or the Sheikh would think I am testing him and they don't ask. If you think that way, keep your questions, don't ask. Leyla, konuşmak istiyor.
I just wanted to know, what can I tell my Christian friends who are celebrating the Easter tomorrow? What do I tell them what Islam says about his so-called crucifixion?
Yarın Easter'ı kutlayacak olan...
Yarın?
Yarın. Easter'ı kutlayacak olan Hristiyan arkadaşlarıma Hazreti İsa'nın çarmıha gerilmesi konusunda ne söyleyebilirim?
The Muslims do not believe that Hazreti İsa aleyhisselam died on the cross. They believed that Allah Ta'ala lifted him up to the second heaven alive. And Mahdi will come to save us from Kimna, how is it called in English?
Antichrist.
That Hazreti Isa alayhi salam will come back to the world and will battle the Antichrist with Mahdi, and he will live a normal life, and in fact his place is in Medina Munawwara next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he will die a natural life and he will be placed there. That is what we believe. But you cannot tell this to a Christian. Because the whole Christianity depends on the concept that Hazreti Isa alayhi salam was tortured and killed to pay for the sins of the Christian. And then the basis of Christianity, which I don't know in origin was that or not, you know, is absolutely in opposition to the idea of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, you know, was not crucified. Yeah. When he was taken to the second heaven, we, astaghfirullah, don't call him the Son of God, but we call him the Spirit of God. All what he had worldly, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, was an iron cup from which he drank water, and an iron comb which he combed his blessed beard, and a needle when his toga would be torn so that he can repair his toga. So he saw some men from water coming from the mountain, drinking the water with his hand, which we sometimes do, he threw the cup away. When he saw somebody who was combing his beard with his fingers, he threw the comb away. And when Allah Ta'ala took him, all that he had of this world was a sewing needle. Because of the weight of the sewing needle, he could only go as high as the second heaven. So think about us. You can tell them that story. There is another beautiful story about him, which they saw him running away from somebody. They stopped him. They said, "Oh, the Spirit of Allah. I mean, you bi-iznillah, you cured the leprosy, you raised the dead, you opened the eyes of somebody who was born blind. Who are you running away from?" He said, "The fool." He said, "The fool. The fool is cursed by Allah and there is no cure for it." You can tell them that story too. Those are Efendinin hikayeler bunlar.
Muzaffer Efendi.
Evet. Allah rahmet eylesin.
Bence Muzaffer Efendi'nin hali çökmüş üstüne. Muzaffer Efendi'nin hali gelmiş üstünüze.
Hanım bana öyle derdi. Yani o zaman gençtik, yürürken bile ya ne yapıyorsun efendi gibi, efendi gibi yürüyorsun derdi. Ya Allah'a şükür o şimdi tasavvufu biliyorsunuz bir muayyen seviyeler vardır. İlk seviye fenafi şeyh, fenafi fiil, fenafi resul, fenafillah. Yani Allah lütfesin de hiç olmazsa fenafi şeyh mertebesine gelelim. Yani o yani şeyhi gibi olmaya çalışmak.
Yok ama hali gelmiş yani ben çok kısa tanıyorum.
Elhamdülillah.
Mehmet'in bir sorusu var alabilir.
Evet.
By the beginning of 20th century, as Ottoman Empire lost and the new republic is established, although there was a clear decline, but it was still a culture and a civilization. Ottoman, there was an Ottoman civilization and an Ottoman culture. Why people who established the new republic decide to reject that culture and decide to create something totally new?
Sevdi.
20. yüzyılın başında Osmanlı İmparatorluğu yıkıldığı zaman ve Türkiye Cumhuriyeti kurulduğu zaman, o zaman var olan Osmanlı kültürünü yeni cumhuriyeti kuranlar neden inkar ettiler ve silmeye çalıştılar? Yeniden yeni bir kültür yaratmaya çalıştılar.
This hasn't started with the Republic, son. It started before, as you know. They saw that Islam lost its dominance, lost its power. And in fact, to the extent, as I said, that they even lost their country. They didn't even have their countries anymore. And slowly, slowly, from 17th century on, but especially in all these military reforms and, you know, parliament, etc., etc., that there was an attempt of somehow copying the West, to regain, if you want to, the at this outer power. Materialism is essentially in direct opposition of Islamic way of life. When the governor of Damascus, precisely, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu an, you know, visited Damascus, was dressed in silk and was living in a palace, and he said to him, "What are you doing? What is your daughter going to wear when you are wearing this kind of outfit? And well, how dare you live in palaces?" He said, "But ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, the people here are used to seeing their leaders to live in palaces and to be dressed in silk. And if I don't, you know, I don't have enough power, enough soldiers, you know, to hold them down. So it is only with this outfit and in living in this way, you know, I can keep them to respect me as their leader." And he said, "Okay then." He accepted it. In fact, precisely as I have said in these five periods, that the more affluent Islam became, the more luxury came into Islam, the more materialism came into Islam, you know, the less religion, the more religion suffered. So Atatürk's reforms was a continuation of this sort of natural phenomena, more or less. And of course, I mean, you have to deny the glories of the past to put something in its place. No. But in a way it worked. In a way it worked. It took 80 years for slowly Islam coming back to Turkey. Now at least 50% of the people have gone back to a certain extent to their religion and to their way of life. The other 50% are going out of their minds, you know, and you know.
Cihan'ın bir sorusu var burada.
Evet.
Now looking at it's actually about what you're talking about. I was also able to travel to some of those countries that used to be ruled by the Ottoman Empire. And there are some lands actually ruled by the empire for over 400 years. Like maybe 5-6 generations. But when you see that what's left of the empire, and when you see only castles and some places to visit, but then that's about it. You see only a handful of Muslim people in the middle of Europe, which are in Bosnia. The rest is all, you know, and we all regarded as barbarians when it comes to, they don't really appreciate that much, although we left them all free in their belief systems, in their culture. So the question comes in mind, should have we imposed Islam maybe at the time so that it could have been a different outcome like the British did in wherever they went in the world? Like, you know, you see now Australia, here, Canada, or elsewhere, or in South America, you see the Spanish language being spoken. But they're in Turkey, and only a handful of Turks. So what do you think of that? I mean, you know, what's your take on it?
Batıdaki imparatorluklar.
Kafanı bana doğru döndürdün.
Batıdaki imparatorluklar, mesela İspanya'daki veya İngiliz İmparatorluğu, bunların geçmişine baktığımız zaman koloni olarak girdikleri ülkelerde kültürlerini bıraktılar. Bir yerde hem dinlerini hem dillerini konuşmaya zorladılar. Zorlama sonucunda da kültürlerini yaymayı başardılar. Bizim Osmanlıların hakimiyetinde olan, geçmişte 400-500 sene Osmanlı hakimiyetinde kalmış olan yerlere baksanız, birkaç saraydan, birkaç kaleden başka ve birkaç Müslümandan başka bir şey kalmamış. Bunun sebebi Osmanlılar kendi kültürlerini ve dinlerini ve dillerini mecbur etmediler, zorlamadılar. Acaba zorlasa mıydılar?
Hayır. The Ottomans did what Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem did. He let people keep their religions, especially when they were Ehl-i Kitab. He left the Christians their churches, he left the Jews their havras. Yeah? And whoever became a Muslim, either mostly out of benefit, because it was, then you became powerful and rich, etc., so they became Muslims, or they truly chose to, for instance, the Turks, they weren't Christians, they weren't Jews, they were pagans. Yeah. So, I mean, the Turks really, truly wanted to become Muslims. Yeah? Now, contrary to what happened to Iranians, Iranians, they liked their religion, you know, Zoroastrianism, etc., and they really, more or less, were forced, truly, and that is why this business of Shiism is going. I mean, Hazrat Ömer radiallahu anh, they don't like him, because, I mean, he really occupied them, and he more or less imposed Islam on them. Yeah? But the Turks, no. The way that the Turks became Muslims is, first of all, the Abbasids, you know, they used them as
slaves.
Frontier.
Paid soldiers.
Enslaved Turks,
actually. In fact, I mean, they protected, the Turks protected the caliph, you know, against his own people. And eventually they married their daughters and they were sent to Egypt, you know, as governor, the Turk, you know, and then he declared his independence, of course, you know. I mean, that's how it started. No, they did the right thing. They did the right thing.
But they're not appreciating.
But it is true, though, what you say, that if he would have done what the Spanish did to the Muslims when they took Spain back, which they, you know, killed them all or chased them all, and so it became all Christian, and the Ottomans could have easily done it too. No. And there wouldn't have been a single Christian in half of Europe. now. But we are now talking about politics. This is not what Islam is. You know?
So then question is, Baba, Islam is not a missionary religion then? In a way like if Christianity is. Because in Christianity, if I know correctly, you're obliged to
the Christian
read the message.
Missionary, I mean, thousands, 10,000, hundreds of thousands of dollars is spent on him. The guy goes to school, he studies it, he gets his doctorate from it, you know, and then with enormous money, you know, he goes to Africa and this and that, and somehow he doesn't succeed. Now, in Islam, there is no, in spite of what the Pakistanis think, you know, there is no, how do they call it?
Dawa.
There is no such a thing. There is no such a thing, except, you know, what has happened. In fact, truly, Islam spread through the efforts of the Sufis. So the Sufis, especially in Far East, you know, like India and all these places, you know, Indochina and Indonesia, etc., etc. The in the tradition of Sufism, there is a you send the dervish to travel. He goes and travels, and a dervish, you know, has a piece of bread under his arm, and he is walking, and he sees an old man digging the ground, you know, farmer, and he goes and he says, Dada, let me help you. No, I don't have any money to put. No, not for money, let me help you. And so he helps him digging together, and then he shares his bread half with him, and the guy says, who the hell is this guy? I mean, you know, who are you? You know, and so I'm nobody, you know, I don't want any money. Why are you helping me? Well, I'm a Muslim and you're old and you know you are having a hard time. I'm helping you, and the guy became a Muslim. No, that's in short by amal, by action, you know, by behavior, not with words. Words don't work. They don't work. I'm smoking. If I would tell you not to smoke, would it be effective? No. I mean, somebody, you know, who I remember during the time of Fendi, I remember a guy went and married somebody from Vienna, you know, and he's coming and complaining, you know, that, you know, my wife is still a Christian, doesn't want to be a Muslim, and this and that. He said, hey, first of all, you should, the guy's a dervish, he's a dervish, right? And I said, first, you have to be a Muslim. So that she would look at you and she would want to be like you, and she would also become a Muslim. And he said, you're not a Muslim. You're terrible. You know, why should she become a Muslim? I mean, our situation today is really lamentable, you have to accept. I mean, it's true, we are not all terrorists, we are not all ISIS, we are not all this. Yeah, but even the best of us, I mean, I hope that, you know, this is a nice community. Huh? And what good do we do? What is so attractive about us? You know, I mean, can't we do better? Huh? I mean, we are here really trying hard to be real Muslims, aren't we? Huh? But what are we doing out there? Well, I'm not saying selling Muslims, you know, like she was talking about, talking to people. Now, talk doesn't help. It is behavior. It is precisely to be like a Muslim, real Muslim, not only in name. Huh? And then people would look at you, and like they did in the old days, and they would want to be like you, and they would become a Muslim. And it would be good for them. And now, you become a Muslim, and what? Yeah? And people hate you for it. It seems the school next door, my son-in-law says that what was it that we are parking our cars there and this and that, and we have a good relation with the school up there, but it seems the
security guard.
It's in, they said, they are easy to those people, you know, why do we have anything to do with us? Well, imagine that. Mm. He will ease it. And if you're a Muslim, you're an ISIS. You know? And it's very difficult to change it and to say, what are going to say to them? I am not? Okay, you are not. Prove it. You know? Prove me that you are nice. What have you done nice to me, you know, so that I would believe you? And that's what we were talking about tonight. Yeah. Inshallah, it will get better. This is very delicate looking.
This is gül lokum, Isparta'dan.
Ne lokum?
Sigara
tarzı. Ne, şeker mi var?
Yok. Sigara tarzı.
Sigara daha iyi diyorsun. Canım hem sigara hem de bu kadar.
Gül sigaramız da var. Pardon.
Gül bak rengine güzel ama şimdi ya. Even the enemies of Islam admit, those who really have studied it, not Muslims, I am talking about Islam, forget about the Muslims, I'm talking, those who have studied Islam say this is really the most practical, the most logical, you know, most human of all religions. And indeed it was once. And fortunately it is not lost irremediably. It's still there. I mean, the hadiths are there, Quran the Kareem is there, and there are even some people, some sheikhs, that you go and you see, for instance, my sheikh and the sheikh which I have even seen in Tanta, in Egypt, Sheikh Hatib, rahmatullah alayh. I mean, they were extraordinary people. There is no reason why each and every one of us, we shouldn't be extraordinary people. And we always complain about the circumstances, about the environment, about Atatürk, about Obama, about this. No! Nobody's fault. It's our fault. You still can be. Because the material is not lost. It's right here. For your own salvation. I mean, we get into fight with mother. She's still a sort of American. Yeah. I mean, I feel this society much more than Europe, it really terrible. It really is. I mean, it's true, like we were talking with Vasek, even the poor are not poor in this country. I mean, the poor has got a roof over his head, you know, has got a car, and he's got a TV. I mean, in Syria, do they, the poor? No. They don't even have a donkey, you know. I mean, the poor are actually rich in comparison to many of the other Muslim countries. But that is not the point. That is not the point. I mean, Marilyn Monroe committed suicide, you know, and Rockefeller committed suicide. You know, they are unhappy. They are rich, they are famous, and they are unhappy. Why? So obviously materialism is really sufficient to make one live in peace and in happiness and in a satisfied manner. It's not. To be religious, to be honest, to be forgiven, forgiving, to be generous, to be kind, all religions really ask from their adherents the same thing. And that does not prevent you from, I mean, what the American want is fun, fun, fun. You can have fun. I mean, you don't have to get drunk or take dope to have fun. We are going to have fun now, for instance. We're going to sing and dance, and we're going to have the great fun. And what I'm trying to say, to be a decent person, no, does not prevent you to take pleasure out of life. But everybody thinks that if you become a sort of Muslim, then you become a zealot. And of course you don't have fun. No. Yani herif Müslüman de, I mean, Taliban, if you're a Muslim, you cannot fly kite and you cannot play football. Where does it say that you cannot play football and you cannot fly kite? You know, I mean, and they are destroying the museum pieces. What does that do? I mean, they're going to go to Jannah for it, you know. I mean, what kind of a mind is that? I mean,
it's ignorance.
Huh?
Ignorance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all there. Yeah. But that is our problem, yes. Precisely. Ignorance.
Because
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
We don't
yeah.
read the Quran.
We don't know. We don't. Neither know. We don't. We neither know our religion, nor we know physics. Nor we know economy. We're just a bunch of idiots. I mean, you know, that's and the first ayah came to Rasulullah, Iqra. Half of Islam is they don't even know how to read and write. I mean,
yeah, the first call of Islam is read and learn.
Oh, it's the fault of the English. who was it who was saying that the English, at least they taught them a language, you know, and they taught them something, which they didn't know. I mean, English were not bad colonialists. French were. Yaksı geldi mi?
Geldi babacığım.
Ezanı duymadım.
Ezan okundu.
Okundu.
Baba, today my Charlie Rose was drilling the Syrian president. Why they killing so much of people? He said, Muslim don't kill no people from his, none of his country. ISIS is not Muslim. And he said, why are they killing all these people for you to be president? He said, we have a power there, that people have the power to put who president they like. He asked them over and over, or you can say that ISIS is killing the Muslim people and the non-Muslim people. And all week he's saying the same thing over and over, for you to admit that he is killing people to be in power. So he said, no, the people put me in power here.
Neymiş?
Charlie Rose'un programında Suriye'nin devlet başkanıyla bir röportaj yapmış.
Gördüm ben, evet.
Orada tekrar sormuş, neden halkınızı öldürüyorsunuz diye, başkanlıkta kalmak için. O da tekrar beni buraya getiren halk, ben halkımı öldürmem demiş.
Evet. That's another thing which we are a master of lying. We are great liars. Muslims. And what is worse, we lie to ourselves.
Bir soru var galiba. Soru soracak mısın?
Evet.
We as a Turk, when we look at our relationship with the religion, we see the Sufism in Anatolia for thousands of years. Their understanding of the Islam, as far as I can understand, it was what you say, be kind, nice, sharing, thinking of others, not being cruel, like as Hazrat Umar was saying. And that was the difference of Turks in Anatolia and Ottomans. That's why our friend asked why the Ottomans didn't impose Sufis. Because the Ottoman Empire and the Serger was Sufis, Bektashis. And they didn't believe in enforcing anything. And they were sharing and everything was good. So that was still inspire us. But since the 18th century, the Wahhabism start to emerge and spread around all Middle East and everything. We talk and I see the people desperately try to defend the Islam as we see ISIS and other things. It's not the Assad is killing, but ISIS and the Al-Qaeda is killing more violent than others. When you are in America, when you look at the Middle East, what can you see apart from bloodshed and incredible torture and all people, even the rulers and the others, they do in the name of the God and the name of the Islam. But I just wish that the Sufism would be spreading to the whole geography and the world without imposing anything, and it would be, now Islam would be such a different story. And I'm just asking, how do you see this? Like, this is aggravatory for me. It's like coming from Wahhabism, is fed by the oil, petrol money, by the Sudis and everything. And they just kill the everything, the money, and they just distort the fact. And I see also that it's coming to the Turkey, and it's like the Islam is becoming more Orthodox. It's like I cannot see any environment that is like cheats.
woman, man living together and being together as a community. This is so nice, and it would be a really good example to other people. But what happened in Wahhabism tradition, which is now covering Turkey and all the agro-things, it's just preventing it. How do you see that? Which, because when we talk about the Muslim, I'm sure the people here in America is to find it difficult. Which is that? Wahhabism, that is with the money and it's like spreading power. Or Sufism is just like, it's getting filled, not in number.
Şöyle özetleyeyim.
Şu an bir deklarasyon bu. Evet.
18. yüzyıla kadar Osmanlılarda askerler dahil olmak üzere İslamiyet tasavvuf üzerinden yayıldı ve öğrenildi.
Evet.
Cömertlik, şefkat, bunlar temel İslamiyet'in öğeleriydi.
Evet.
Sonra 18. yüzyılda
işte bu futuve dediğimiz şeyin tesiri, evet.
18. yüzyılda Vahhabizm ortaya çıktıktan sonra, materyalizme bağlı bir Suudi devleti ortaya çıktıktan sonra, gerçekler, hakikatler, İslam'ın özü yavaş yavaş Vahhabiler tarafından bozuldu.
Yok ya. Yok ya, zavalların hangi Vahhabi, yani did you go to Saudi Arabia?
No.
Did you go to Saudi Arabia?
No.
You didn't.
No.
Well, so you didn't see the Wahhabis. The Wahhabis, they sit on the Quran. I have seen the Wahhabi, making his namaz, and take the Quran and hangi Wahhabi? What Wahhabi? Are you kidding? That they have no influence. They tried because they've got the money. For instance, you know, I've gone to Bosnia. That they tried to, after the war in the Balkans, they tried to spread Wahhabi Islam. And you tell me how much did they succeed? Zero. Yok, it is not the Wahhabis at all. It is us, the good Muslims. The good Muslims, we left our religion, simply. We left our religion. So sure, we make our namaz 5 times a day. You know? Up and down. Like Mevlana says, like a chicken eating corn. You know? It's all our fault. It is not the Wahhabis. The Wahhabis, that's really, I mean, they exist today thanks to, first, the English gold. Neydi Pezevengin ismi?
Lawrence
of Arabia. And thanks to the American dollars, thanks to petroleum. Otherwise, they would disappear in 2 seconds. I mean, they don't really represent Sunni. They claim that they are angry at the Shiis. They are 1,000 times worse than the Shiis. No, they have no influence at all, zero. So what is the rest of the declaration?
Money, they created the ugly picture of the Islam, that is the Qaeda and other
Maalesef batıdaki İslam'ı Batılılar Vahabilerin gözüyle, tanıtımıyla gördükleri için bizden...
O da doğru değil. That is not also right. The West, with the exception of few true scholars of Islam, who by the way eventually become Muslims, you know, that French or English, etc. You know, whoever studies Islam, eventually they become Muslims. The rest of the West is still, it's all political. It's all political. I mean, it was, first of all, the Crusades was economic adventure. I think that nothing to do with religion at all. The Europe was poor, and the East was rich. And so they went to get the money. They didn't want to go to get to Jerusalem because Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was born and dead in Jerusalem. No. And there is that spirit. And then afterwards, you know, they colonized them. Everything was fine. Yeah. And now they lost their colonies, and so they are angry again, you see, with Islam. It's all political and economic. It has nothing to do with religion. Zero. Actually, there really is not any difference from real Christianity and real Islam and real Judaism. It is one and the same religion with tiny little differences. I'm talking of the real Christianity and real Islam and real Judaism. So there should be absolutely no. For instance, I really, with my daughter, we picked up a Hasidim because they cannot travel on such a day. We took him in Washington Village in our car, and we brought him all the way to Monday to his house. And the whole time we were talking, and Daphne is sitting behind. And you know, after we left the car, she asked me, "Was he a dervish?" We agreed on all points about women, about food, about life, about Allah, about religion. At all points, there was no difference, you know, between the Hasidim and me. You know, we were talking about all subjects, and Daphne was, you know, very impressed. What's your dervish? She asked me. It is the misconstrued Christianity, misconstrued Judaism, misconstrued Islam, you know, which makes them angry with each other. I was thinking, by the way, it was a bumper sticker. I am a Sunni Muslim, but I am also Shi. Inconceivable, this hostility between the Shia and the Sunni. Absolutely. Yapalım mı? Hatta I'm a Sunni Muslim, but I'm also a Shi.
Doğrudur efendim.
Şimdi ne moda ya? Birisini öldürdüler. Neydi herifin adı? They killed somebody in France lately. And what was his name? So everybody said that I am Joseph, or whatever the guy's name was. So I am Shi. Hadi kalkın.
Müsaade istedim. Rica ederim.